Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
So if you are just kind of walking in new to this, last week we had our 20th year anniversary as a church, and we've been talking about several different things, and within that celebration we talked about where we've been and where we're headed into this new season. And this new season is represented in many ways by the painting that you see to the right of me that we had commissioned from a dream that we had that we are exploring as a church family, both from an individual standpoint and also as a church, of what does this fully mean to us. So again, if you've seen it for the first time, it's pretty clear as far as the beach, the water, the calm ocean in front of the worshipers, and the raging water to the sides. There's other elements to the dream as well, but this is the main gist that gets us into a examination aspect where we're going to be looking at things together. It's not a season where I think I've got a pretty good feel of where God's going. This dream is about 5 months old, and a lot of prayer has been over it, but really feel that we need to be finding aspects of this together as a church community. So last week I asked, as we're going through this, please share anything that God's putting on your heart or that just kind of stands out to you. It might just be a moment and a thing that stands out cool to you that has nothing to do with anything outside that moment. It might be something that's cool for this vision for you as an individual, as your family, or it might be part of the church as well. Last week when we got done talking, Tommy took and came up to me and was like, you know, first thing I thought of was Moses and the parting of the Red Sea and going through the Red Sea. He goes, but the weird thing was, it wasn't so much about like us going through the Red Sea. The part that kept coming back to me was when the waters came down on the enemy and the waters were destroying the enemy away from God's people. That has some elements that might be of interest to us as we're considering these things. The other day I got a private message from Shannon. Hi, Shannon. Not so private anymore. but she was still talking about, and a lot of you guys resonate with this, we did a movie of day on this and went down to see the Jesus Revolution. And she was saying, just reminded her of the area where they were doing the baptisms over and over in the cliff areas, and where they still do baptisms today. That church still does quite a few baptisms in the California area. And so, you know, what implications from that kind of stand into it. And that's the general heart of the series that we're going into starting today. Just call it Living H2O, just because it sounded clever and we're talking about water. Nothing much more deep than that, I guess. But there were multiple testimonies in the scripture when it comes to water. And so the last couple of months, since my sabbatical up at Mehican Lodge, been doing more and more study on water and Bible, water in the Bible, and it's been pretty fascinating. So what I want to do is just spend the next few weeks sharing some of those testimonies with you, talking about it, and seeing what things stand out within the commentary, but also in what response I get from you guys and what stands out as the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Does that sound good? Everybody's in? So we're going to be mostly concentrating on the water, the calm water in front of the worshipers, the raging water to each side. So we're going to start out where we always start out, in the scripture. So if you got your Bibles, I'm going to give you some extra time. It's going to be harder to find this one. If you can get the Genesis one, that'd be great. But again, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles underneath the chairs around the place that you can keep while we're still. And your version should be up and running as well. We'll give you all the scriptures right there on your phone or your tablet. And place take notes, prayer request, all that. So Brent gives me the thumbs up. I now go to Brent every week just to make sure it's up and running. He is now the YouVersion police. So, and I want to read through this particular account of creation. You get some different elements between chapter 1 and chapter 2. And I'm going to read it straight through with you. And again, I know that when somebody's reading, it's easy to glaze over. There's going to be two readings today. This is going to sound so bad. If you're going to glaze over on one of them, it's scripture, so don't take it wrong. But this one we're going to tear apart and really dig into. So if you miss a section, you're going to pick it back up. The other one, I want to make sure that you all pay attention, even though it's not scripture at all. Okay, so take that for what it's worth. Are you ready? Everybody?
Yes.
Thumbs up. Brent did it again. Nobody else did. That's great. That's great. Okay, a couple there and there. Should I pause until everyone does it? Everyone? No, Cincinnati did. We have a thumbs up from Cincinnati. Okay. Okay. Still waiting on JT. There we go. Okay. Here we go. Chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read through this account. Again, this is written down by Moses from the stories that are handed down generation to generation, and the Jewish people were meticulous on their details, and they're passing it on from generation to generation. So this is what we have. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. A little confusing, we're going to talk about that. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven over the skies. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters of the heavens, under the heavens, be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And so, it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its own. And on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs for the seasons, and for the days and the years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And so it was. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And so it was. And God saw everything that he has made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening, and then there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all of his work that he had done in creation. Everybody still awake? Still with me? It's good stuff. I'll tell you, if we go through it, it's interesting how we see this continual process play out and the reason why God did it. And I'm going to submit to you that I believe that he made creation, and I don't think it's that hard to see this, for his children, for us. So if we start out and we go through the order of things, and this is where I'll get Chris's help with some pictures. It says that he created the heavens and the earth. And at this point, it was pretty much uninhabitable. The starting point, and I don't know if this was a pre-day or part of day one. That's something that everybody else can debate if they want to. But when he started with it, it was kind of the clay to start getting to be worked. There really wasn't a lot to it. Again, we talk about biblical creative imagination, the things that we just kind of have to imagine from the education of the scripture. So, I mean, like, to get that darkness outside of doing some major trash bags over top of the windows, I guess you just have to take your hand and put it over your eyes and close your eyes. Did you do that? Come on, I'm not tricking you. I'm not going to come out there and smack you. And then while you do that, since there's so much water, I think if you just, like, lick the palm of your other hand and touch your neighbor, just to touch him on the face. Thank you. You got to admit, if you guys fell for that, it would have been really fun to watch from up here. Watching everybody try to duck from each other, even though you have your eyes covered and trying to find each other. Let's do it again. That's literally, and it is. It was an ucky mess that you really wouldn't want anything to do with. It was the starting point, is where he came into place. And so the first thing he does with this creation of his in this pre-day where it's not stable yet, is he says, let there be light. Let there be light. Now, Matthew dropped his phone. I was like, as soon as we took it, he said, and I was like, it's not that bright to blind you, is it? But here's the thing that's interesting within the light. You notice there is no sun yet, right? The sun's not created for the first few days. And this is a contention. I really don't hear this in conversation as much around here. It's not something that you get a lot of debate over. I do see it online for people who are trying to like come up with sneaky things to say the Bible's messed up. There can't be light without the sun. That's not true. The sun is one source of light. Matter of fact, one thing that's really cool, if you go into Revelation chapter 22, I believe it is, 22 verse 5. I'll double check. Yeah, I'm not lying to you. 22 verse 5. It talks about us being in the new heavens and the new earth after all of this game is done, after he has total victory, after Satan is put away, that we are in the new heavens and the new earth, and there is no sun because the light is from Jesus Christ. The original source is Christ himself. And so we absolutely have where God is taking that and saying, I'm exposing light, I'm exposing the darkness with it, but it's not sunlight. And that's about the best that we can understand at this point. Does that make sense? So if you've had your eyes closed this entire time, now open your eyes. Okay, because I felt bad for not dismissing. Okay. So here we go. Day two. This is when the waters separate. This is the one that I said that we come back to a little bit. This is when God created the atmosphere. That the watery mess was just a watery mess. And God took and separated them from the water that's above to the water that we see here on this earth. And I don't know about you, but when I was watching that video that I shared a little bit ago for the first time, it made a statement that I never really thought about. I don't know if I'm 100% agreement with it, but I'm probably in the high 90s from what little I learned in science class in high school because I almost flunked out, was that there was no new water since creation. Did you catch that when he was saying that? And it actually makes sense to me because it's a system. It's a system that he put into place. The water comes down in the rain. It's on this earth. It evaporates, goes back up, and there's a continuing cycle that he's created to be able to continue that moisture rotating through. This is what we see on day two. And when we see that with the light and the darkness and things, now we're starting to see this world that he's created starting to take some shape. That makes a little bit more sense to us. Day three, he says, let the waters gather. We'll go to that next slide there, let the waters gather. And you'll notice that the lands are not created on that day, they're exposed that day. That the water was over the land. So everything that we know as far as our continents and those type of things were exposed when he pulled the waters back. That the goodness of what God had was exposed when things were pulled back. You see how I overemphasize that because this might have implications? Of what he exposes when he pulls, when he controls the waters that he has. Now I know because I know our church family, you love Star Wars, and so immediately you are thinking about the planet Kamino, where they made the clones that end up being that nobody's connecting with this? Don't you?
I love Captain.
Do you? I would love to have plexiglass around the sound booth. Okay, fine. But it's like it was a completely water-based planet. That's what we had here, and then all of a sudden we now have expanse and exposure of his creation happening. So now we have some inhabitable land that people can live upon, which is pretty important. Within that same day, if you were taking note at all, the next picture is when he started putting some plant life on here. So if you are a vegetarian, this is your day, this is your buffet. This is when vegetation, plant food, seeds, trees, all exposed, and we see something new. No, not yet. There we go. We see something new. We see a process that I guess you can make the same argument for the water, but this is the first time where he's saying, I want you now to be healthy. I want you to grow. I want you to plant seed. I want you to mature. I want you to multiply. Go forth. And so within creation, we're starting to see a process that I think you're going to see several times over as it continues from this plate. But the land and the water is at a place where now he can give us, our vegetarian friends, all the food that they could desire. That's that day. And it was good. Day four, yeah, now we're good to the next one. Now we have sun, moon, and stars. Now we have the sun, moon, and stars. Again, those who debate out whether or not you could have the light without the sun, they also sometimes debate out, okay, how can you make plants and there's no sun left? If you're a 24-hour day person for the Genesis, 24 hours is not that hard for plants to live without the sun. But beyond that, I think the illuminating light had the capacity to take care of those plants. I really do. Whatever time frame that you want to argue about, but I don't argue about those type of things. So we now have the sun, we have the moon put into place, we have the stars put into place. I think that's a very beautiful day that we have. And when we look at the sun and the moon that now govern the day, that now govern that 24-hour period of time, and now govern the lightness and the darkness as part of a system that God has already put that light into place, we have a moon that affects the tides. We have, I'll go to the next slide too, if you would, Chris. Now we have something that gauges the seasons. And no matter what your favorite season is, we generally need that season as part of the definition of the area that you live within. So for that vegetation, for the animals about to be created, for us, everything's about to be put into place to have a system, an annual system that takes care of us. Now, this impacts the world in different places, different ways. My son in Florida does not see anywhere near as much snow as I do. And he has very different vegetation. He has different animals. He has a different lifestyle. The boy finally bought a pair of pants. You know what I mean? Like it governs. So all of this is put into place around the equator and throughout the dimensions that are within that start making this beautiful, inhabitable world coming into place. That's very mindful. That's very detailed. And this really, if you're thinking through all this, I just cannot, in just my common sense, subscribe that this all happened by accident. There's just too much detail here. There's too much that's going into place. So now we got the vegetation, now we've got the seasons, and we go to day five, which is the next picture there, which we have water creatures and birds. Now, originally I thought I was going to talk about birds a little bit more, but I just saw Aquaman last night. So I've got a lot to say about the sea creatures, and I don't know when God made Aquaman. I don't know for sure. Now I'll start with the birds. I'm not a huge bird person. I usually have to deal with the aftermath of birds taking in, like pooping on your car. Michael is having the fun of a red cardinal every time he parks here. It starts attacking itself in the mirror of his beloved vehicle that is now scratching up. He was doing it to Mike's car when I left yesterday. Yeah, so he's sharing it out. Yeah. Huh? Oh, that's true. And yeah, we can't even talk about the free-range chickens that live next door. I'm not worried about the attack. They're eating all of our flower beds up around the sign. Oh, well. I love that this is what I get the audience response on. Hallelujah, they poop on my car. I'll tell you one thing I did see on the news this week, just a couple of days ago. It's somewhere in Central Ohio, I think it was, and I just saw a moment of it. But like they were talking to these bird watchers, somewhere there's this eagle's nest that had two eagles in it. Do you know the story?
Dublin. Oh,
okay.
Dublin.
We like the birds. But it had like two eagles in it. Like these people have been watching it for like 6 years and taking pictures and studying its life and what it does, that they do every day and all that kind of stuff. And then there was this young eagle that they sighted in the area, and the next thing you know, there's only one eagle left up in the nest. Like the other one's either left or something happened to it. And it was a whole news story, man. They were all a flutter. All these people have been studying for 6 years. They're like, what happens now? And they're tracking the new systems and what does this one eagle do and what does it have to do with this one younger one? What happened to the one that's missing? What's going to happen to the eggs that are within it? It's a very detailed life that God has created for these birds that we just kind of take for granted within it. And I do. I really do like a fish life. I have a complex relationship when it comes to the sea. If I'm swimming in any body of water, the last thing I want to do is to feel something touch my leg. I'm not a fan of that at all. But same standpoint, because of my son, I have scuba dived a couple of times in areas where there's no sharks. At least that's what he tells me. And it's beautiful. The sea creatures that you see, the colors, the array, the life that's there. We've been well watching a couple times to see a humpback taking breach and land back into the water is beautiful. Anything that you can find majestic-wise in the sea or in the air, God created that day. Incredible detail. And if you subscribe to my theory that God created this for his children, how beautiful is that? They just continues to expand this world out. And now, not only do you have the vegetarian buffet, but you have chicken and crab and lobster. Crab or lobster? Do you like crab more than lobster? Raise your hand. Lobster more than crab? Okay, you guys make more money than I do. Okay. Day six. We go to Dong Lumberty. I don't know how that Lion King song goes. Now we have the land animals, including snakes. Did you notice the snakes in there, and that's supposed to be good? But yeah, now we're in the Lion King end of things. So if you want a good steak, God got you covered too. And all of these land animals in place. And once all of this is done with the water, all this is done with the land, all this is done with the vegetation, all this is done with the animals, then he makes man. That'll be our next picture there. Then he makes man out of the dust. Then he makes woman. Brent's looking at me like he thinks I'm going to make a joke. I'm not going to make a joke today, Brent, about woman. You're horrible. You're a sexist, Brent. Shannon, smack him with a wet palm.
Oh, good.
We're waiting. Lisa, smack Brent. I knew it wouldn't take any issue at all. Okay, so then he creates man, and one of the things that we see just off the bat, again, it wasn't good for man to be alone, and so he made Eve. And this is a truth that we just cannot ever miss. We're made for community. This to me is the first example of Christian community, that it's not good for us to be alone. I don't think it's just a romantic partnership. I don't think it has anything to do with intimacy. I think it has to do with the fact that we are made for community, that we are made to have people in our lives. And so he makes man, makes woman. This is the grand event. This is the thing that everything has been building up to. And he says, be fruitful, multiply. So once again, as we see in some of these other areas, be fruitful, multiply. He gives them dominion over all the animals, all the earth, every plant, and every food. And it's now ours. It's now ours. And it's quite beautiful. On the seventh day, God rested. Don't forget about that. God rested on the seventh day. Keep in mind, God did not need to rest. He didn't. He did it as a fulfillment to show us how we were supposed to live our lives. Again, this became the Sabbath throughout the Old Covenant. We still have Sabbath rest in the New Covenant. It doesn't define by a day, but it's defined by at least a weekly time that you set aside for God to reconnect, to rest, to be in the scripture, to be in prayer, to be able to change your mindset, that this is a discipline that he modeled for us because we need it, or else we're running on empty like a car. This, to me, is somewhat like Jesus being baptized. Jesus did not need to be baptized, but he did it to fulfill all righteousness, and he did it as an example for us on what we need. So God created the rest, and I didn't want to skip over that too quickly. So every step that we have within this, we just kind of see this building of God's creation for us. It's quite a wonderful act. I'll tell you what, since for our bullet point people, our note takers, I'll give you a couple of bullet points on this that seems to repeat itself over and over and over again. I want to make sure we don't miss. First, when it comes to that creation, that 7 days, it was good. It was good. From beginning to end, every aspect of it was good. There's only one day that God didn't say it was good, and that's when he separated the waters from the earth into the sky, because he didn't create something, he just separated something. But everything that he created for his children, he wanted to make sure it was good before he moved on to the next step. And that's important to know, because it doesn't just take and say, oh yeah, that's great, it was good. It reflects the goodness of our God and how much he loves you. That he wanted it to be at that level for us reflects the goodness of God, because he loves you. The second thing that stands out over and over again, and I kind of hit on earlier, was to be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. And that's very much a command on our lives. Once again, I don't believe that this only has to do with intimacy or having babies. I think this has to do with the lifestyle that his children are called to. We ought to be fruitful. We ought to multiply. We ought to grow within this creation that he's given us and be able to have it continue to expand more and more. It shows the Trinity. I know there's debate in different circles about whether or not the Trinity is a biblical thing or not. Trinity is not mentioned in the Scripture, but the Trinity is mentioned quite often in the Scripture. We see them over and over and over again, including creation. It was who doing the creating? God the Father, right? We know that. So what about God the Son? What about Jesus? When you bring in John chapter 1, write that down. Make sure you look at it later. It is not me twisting Scripture to make a point. It is so up in your face that you cannot deny that Jesus is the Word of God. And so when God spoke, it was through Jesus that creation happened. We also see this in the Scripture. It tells us that all things were created through Christ, because this Word, literally Word, the Son of God. And then we have this beautiful image, and don't miss this because it has implications here, this beautiful image of God the Holy Spirit hovering over the mass of the creation like a mother that's hovering over a child. That's how I see it. Like a mother hovering over a child, making sure that she's safe, making sure that it's good, making sure that they're taken care of. We see three different aspects of the Trinity all working together, as we do in multiple areas of the Scripture. And then the last thing that kind of stood out, it was a peace. At this point, it was in peace. The systems were in place. Everything was happening to continue the cycle, to be fruitful and multiply. Everything was going in such a way to be able to take care of these children who were made in, by the way, our image, not my image. Who's our Trinity? So we have this thing that's beautiful and in peace that is ready to go for his children. And I'd love to live there. I mean, that's good. That is really good. And then you get to chapter 6. And this entire creation has completely crumpled away to nothing in the time of Noah. When we see Noah, it says this in chapter 6. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. From this to this, for what reason? Before we start screaming out to God for messing everything else, for what reason? Because flesh had corrupted it. They went from this to this because of us. It went from this to this because violence came through them, not through God. It was all taken away, all came down into this storm, this grossness. And then he said, but I will establish my covenant through Noah. I'll establish my covenant again through the faithful. Even at the smallest little speck, I'll establish my covenant with, and we will start growing and being fruitful and multiply again. And that's the world that we live in right now. That's the world that we as individuals can choose whether or not we're going to go to the still waters or the train wreck storms and see it continue to grow in our life, in our community, in our families, in our friendships, until someday, when I don't need the sun anymore, and the light is only through Jesus Christ. So if we look at these things, again, there's a lot of implications that we can go through here. The first thing that really stood out to me on the dream factor was just how calm the water was in front of the worship. When it came to the faithful lives, the calmness of the waters versus this torrential storms that were parted on each side, somewhat like the Red Sea. So what implications does that give us in our worship? And what kind of life that we want as individuals? What kind of things will come into place to this as far as the storm taking and crushing our enemies instead of being where we swim, trying to go against the current? What does that mean to us as a church? What are some of the implications of the waters being separated? The systems to be able to sustain? The things that made it beautiful and good instead of the tragedy that we see around us? This is the part I want to read to you without you dozing off. Donna. I'm kidding. Okay. I know there's probably more fans of C.S. Lewis than there is Star Wars in here. Am I right? Okay, how many Star Wars fans? Hands up. How many C.S. Lewis? I love you, Jenny, but only one hand is needed. You're trying to rig the numbers. C.S. Lewis, if you are not aware, but I guess I wouldn't be surprised, but C.S. Lewis has a series of books on Narnia, the Chronicles of Narnia, that have been around for a very, very long time. And if you followed into them in any way, shape, or form, especially The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, the second book, first book written, second book in the series, has very much metaphors that are of Christianity and of Christ. In the second book, it's all about the lion is Christ, the white witch is Satan, the children are us, those who follow God in different ways, got themselves in trouble, needed redemption. We even have the death and resurrection of the lion within the book. It's very much a metaphor for the gospel message. However, there's another book called The Magician's Nephew. And Magician's Nephew is last book written, first book in the series. Now it sounds like Star Wars. It just comes out however order he wants to do it. But Magician's Nephew, it dabbles into creation and a metaphor for creation with the lion. And I really, really enjoyed going through that book. And I know that Netflix now has the rights to be able to turn the books into movies. I think they're doing 4 instead of 6. And I've wondered ever since I read the book, I don't know if they can do this book well. I mean, they've surprised me before, but I mean, in your imagination, if you really lean into it, it is so beautiful, I don't know if they can catch it visually, to me. Maybe they'll surprise me. But what I want to do is, again, it's easy, especially when we talk about creation ever since we were like in Bible school, to just kind of go through it step by step. And I want to read to you a section of the metaphor of the creation. And whatever it takes for you, if you close your eyes to imagine things, that's fine. I promise we will not lick you. Sarita laughed a little hard on that one. She's like, watch me. Or if you do it with eyes open, that's fine too. But just take a moment and think about this. I think it's beautiful, and I think it captures the beauty of that creation. In the darkness, something was happening at last. A voice had begun to sing. It's the most beautiful noise he had ever heard. It was so beautiful he could hardly bear it. Then 2 wonders happened at the same time. One was that the voice was suddenly joined by other voices, more voices than you could possibly count. They were in harmony with it, but far higher up the scale, cold, tingling, silvery voices. The second wonder was that the blackness overhead all at once was blazing with stars. They didn't come out gently, one by one, as they do on a summer evening. One moment there had been nothing but darkness, and the next moment a thousand points of light leaped out. If you had seen it or heard it, you would have felt quite certain that it was the stars themselves which were singing, and that it was the first voice, the deep one, which had made them appear and made them sing. The voice on the earth was now louder, more triumphant. But the voices in the sky, after singing loudly with it for a time, began to get fainter. Far away and down near the horizon, the sky began to turn gray. A light wind, very fresh, began to stir. The sky in that one place grew slowly and steadily paler. You could see the shapes of hills standing up dark against it. All the time, the voice went on singing. The eastern sky changed from white to pink, and from pink to gold. The voice rose and rose till all of the air was shaking with it. And just as it swelled to the mightiest, most glorious sound it had yet produced, the sun arose. The earth was of many colors. They were fresh, hot, vivid. They made you feel excited until you saw the singer himself, and then you forgot everything else. It was a lion, huge, shaggy, and bright. It stood facing the risen sun. Its mouth was wide open in song, and it was about 300 yards away. And as he walked and sang, the valley grew green with grass. It spread out from the lion like a pool. It ran up the sides of the little hills like a wave. Soon there were other things besides grass. The slopes grew darker with heather. And when he burst into a rapid series of lighter notes, she was not surprised to see the primroses suddenly appearing in every direction. But now the song had once more changed. It was more like what we would call a tune, but it was far wilder. It made you want to run and jump and climb. Showers of birds came out of the trees. Butterflies fluttered. Bees got to work on the flowers as they hadn't had a second to lose. And now you could hardly hear the song of the lion. There was so much cawing and cooing, crowing, braying, neighing, baying, barking, lowing, bleating, and trumpeting. Then there came a swift flash like a fire, but it burnt nobody, either from the sky or from the lion itself. And every drop of blood tingled in the children's bodies. And the deepest, wildest voice that I'd ever heard was saying, "Narnia, Narnia, awake. Love. Think. Speak. Be walking trees. Be talking beast. Be divine waters."
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500. Or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.